Wake up, sleepyheads. This is CJSF 90.1 FM.
And you're tuning in to Slumber Party. This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. Burnaby is located on the ancestral and stolen homelands of the Halkomelem and Squamish-speaking peoples.
You can listen online at cjsf.ca or on our radio app, which you can download from the App or Google Store, depending on your device. Keep up to date on our social media at linktree.com/CJSF Radio and learn more by visiting our website, cjsf.ca. Got a request? Text or call us at 778-782-CJSF, which is 2573. Welcome. This is Slumber Party every Tuesday from 6 to 7. I am one of the hosts, DJ Coco.
And I am DJ Star. Thank you so much for tuning in today. We are happy to have some listeners listening in to us.
Oh, yes. Last week, we had a very special listener tune in and actually give us a call. So thank you, Gregel.
Thank you, Gregel.
Thank you, Gregel, for calling in. We sent the music, so hopefully you got that through our programming coordinator. But yeah, hopefully we have a good episode today and have some, I think we have some good music lined up. I'm pretty sure.
And also just for any of you listening out there that wants to access our music or our playlist, we oftentimes post our podcasts or episodes on cjsf.ca under Slumber Party. So you can look there as well.
Oh yeah. We've got lots of episodes, lots of topics and rants. But today, we are going to start off with the music before we get into the topic as normal. So this first one is going to be called 1625 by the band Soft Cult. And they are a Canadian band as well. I believe they are from Quebec. I don't know. I'm not looking at my document. Where are they from?
It doesn't say.
Oops. Okay, well, they're not from Montreal. I think I got it mixed up, but okay, wait. I mixed up
I
the
feel
order.
Like
no,
from
they
Ontario.
Are from Montreal. I said that they No. No, I said that they're from Montreal.
We are going to look it up right
now.
Yeah.
I'm getting my notes mixed up.
Kitchener, Ontario.
Kitchener. Okay, they're from Ontario. They are Canadian. They are Canadian. So this first one is going to be 1625 by Soft Cult, and this is one of their newly released albums. So enjoy.
We'll be right back. Corner. And you're locked on to Timbers. Watch the pirates. Pirates. Dance up. Yeah, hearts. All about 90.1 FM. And you're tuned to the Pirates of the Caribbean. Every Saturday, 4 to 6 p.m. Yeah, hearts.
CGSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, community radio from Simon Fraser University. You are tuning into Slumber Party, and I'm DJ Gogo.
And I'm DJ Star.
This song that you're just listening to now is by K-Tronada, called Goodbye Bitch, from his newest album, Ain't No Damn Way. Not too bad of an album. The song before that you heard was Farmhouse by Georgia Harmer. And Memories by Billy Ann, and I believe Paper House by Tops. Kind of ran through a bunch of songs there. And we decided to jump in into our topic for this week, which was a bit inspired by my conversation with my mom about anxiety and medication specifically, and this kind of upcoming or popular medication that people are using now called propranolol.
Oh, nice.
We got that Google pronunciation.
Propranolol.
But just before we do that, I also did find a quote for today. I didn't mention before, but I'll mention now. And it is, quote, "Inner peace is beyond victory or defeat," quote, by Bhagavad Gita.
So,
some food for thought.
I'm eating.
We are eating.
So they're saying that it's not even in the same realm of, like, winning or losing. Like, it's just something mm-hmm. where you don't need either.
Yeah, separate entity, you know. You can never have... There's never a goal with peace. It's just a state of being is how I see it.
Mm.
But I just saw this and I thought, why not? I'm gonna add it in. And it kind of relates a little bit peace and with anxiety for the topic today.
So. Yeah, definitely.
But anyways, back to propranolol. I'm going to have a lot of struggles trying to pronounce this
just
the entire
Siri
episode.
Every time you need to say it.
I'll just have my phone saying propranolol.
Mm-hmm.
But as I was saying, my mom and I have been talking about this, and she has been using propranolol for kind of situational anxiety, for things like doing a presentation, for example, for work, and other things like that. And I also have a family history of rosacea, which is when you have kind of more of a physical reaction where you get red in your face, usually from a stressful situation. And so she's been using that for rosacea. And I may have rosacea. I'm not too sure, but I've had situations where I don't feel anxious. But if I'm in a situation, my face just goes red and I don't feel anxious, which is something that potentially propranolol could help, but I have some opinions about this.
Let's get into it.
But just so we can start off on equal ground for everyone, what propranolol is that it's this very kind of popularized medication now. You may have heard in the news or in pop culture where it is a beta blocker. So this is a medication that blocks beta receptors all over the physical body. It was originally used for treating irregular heart rate and high blood pressure, approved by the FDA in 1967. So kind of more for helping cardiovascular disease and preventing it. But now it's very popular for its off-label treatment for performance or social anxiety. Mm-hmm. And it's also labeled as non-addictive or the mildest variety of an anti-anxiety medication. So the key component of how propranolol is different from things like benzos or benzodiazepines or these more psychological meds that you may think like depressants, it only blocks the physical symptoms of anxiety and not the psychological. So the drug kind of works more to reduce your blood pressure and reduces your heart rate to calm you down instead of causing interactions in your brain, which is where the other types of drugs would work. So that's why it's a bit different and could be controversial if you want to use it or not, because, I mean, who gets to use this?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you get prescribed this kind of thing? But what do you think? Would you think that you would try propranolol, DJ Star, or have heard about it?
Probably not, just because I have anxiety anyways, and I think I would need... That's just like a whole other situation that probably therapy would help benefit me and those kinds of things. But when I first heard about it, like situation-based or... event-based anxiety, like, it just kind of sounds to me like being nervous. So
yeah.
I like looked into the differences between nervousness and anxiety, and being nervous is like temporary in response to something specific and disappears when the trigger is removed. So like once you do a presentation, like, you feel so relieved and not stressed after. And it's a very common reaction to feeling out of your comfort zone, and the intensity is not as high as it is with anxiety. Whereas, yeah, like anxiety, it's persistent, it interferes with daily life, and it is quite intense. So yeah, that was one of my main questions, was like, can we, because like social anxiety disorder is also a thing, but that does seem to be more of an event-based anxiety too. So I guess it's kind of difficult to draw the line between, is this person nervous or do they actually have
a chronic disease, kind
of? Yeah, like a disorder anxiety. Or like actual anxiety. Because like event-based anxiety just kind of sounded like BS to me a bit.
That was my same thought. Yeah. This is kind of the reason for the topic, is that it's like, should we be medicating situations that all of us will have to go through at some point of our lives? Because we will all have to do a presentation, or we all have to go on a first date, or we all have to attend a wedding, or be the groom or the bride at a wedding. Well, not everyone, but some people. And it's like, should we be medicating for this?
That's also my question.
So that's why I'm like, what are we doing right now? And I saw this article in the Wall Street Journal where, as I said, a lot of influencers are making this popular because they're using these for attending or for their wedding or for first dates. And so a lot of celebrities on the red carpet will use them before a speech or getting photos taken of. And especially with telehealth these days, it is a lot easier to go get a prescription of propranolol from a family doctor or a physician without even having to go into the physical office and getting your blood pressure taken or getting your heart rate checked. You can just fill out some questionnaire saying you're anxious, and then boom, propranolol is at your door. So there's a lot of that happening, and as well, pharmaceutical companies pushing propranolol, because of course
it's not a good sign.
It's money. Yeah. Propranolol, we can make money off this. And so, for example, the company Him and Hers, they are pushing this medication and saying that propranolol is not a high risk treatment and not addictive, as stated by their website.
Yeah, like it's hard to trust somebody saying that when they're also trying to get people subscribed to their website or also prescribed to any kind of medication. It's a bit, you know, you want to be wary of it. And also, this is like a new kind of trending thing. But also, aside from that, it's the whole concept of medicating for, we could say, like issues like this is kind of like, it's more of a reactionary measure rather than like going to the origin of like why someone might feel nervous or anxious. And then I was getting curious about like, what, why do we feel anxiety, or like why, what is it indicating to us, like evolutionarily wise? So I did a little bit of research on it too, and I mean, it's kind of what you would expect, is that it is a response that motivates you to escape danger and also avoid any social disgrace, just to keep us alive and be able to take action when there are immediate problems. Because in the past, living as humans as we did, there was just mostly immediate problems, like, oh, there's a fire, or there's like a predatory animal, like you have the anxiety, and then that motivates you to run away. Or if you have like the nervousness or fear when you see something like that, you run away, and then the anxiety is resolved, and that kind of played its role. So it's more short term like anxiety it was built for. But now we are in a society where we're like, we have to think so much about the future, and those are anxieties that can't really, like, the same response is there because, you know, they invoke fear, but it's like a mismatch between how our old brain was wired, which is like instant danger and like returning to safe environments with very like present moment anxiety. And then now we have like this new environment where we have to think about the future a lot and do things that aren't even necessarily dangerous. Like giving a presentation to like 20 people that are all your age is like, no, that's not dangerous. That's
it's not scary,
like,
though.
But it does give you that like fight, flight, or freeze kind of feeling in your heart. So it's kind of, now anxiety, nervousness is considered not nervousness, but I guess more anxiety is considered maladaptive. Because like, you know, once it gets too high, it's just, well, like, why are you scared for your life in the supermarket? Like nothing normal. I mean, there's always an uncertain chance, and that's where a lot of anxiety comes from, is uncertainty. But anyways, I just wanted to look into that and see if there were really any indications that anxiety or nervousness can give us that are useful from an evolutionary standpoint. And I think there are benefits of anxiety and nervousness other than that, but I don't know if it's a great thing to just erase that sense of fear or discomfort.
I think I agree as well, because it does, at the same time being nervous or anxious for a present, or I guess nervous for a presentation, it also spikes adrenaline to get you pumped up and try to keep you quick on your feet and maybe think faster for a question or